Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's raining and everything, huh?
We tried to hold it off. We tried to hold it off for you guys from Fresno, but
nah, shoot, January, February. First couple months we were here, we got the picture.
I'm wondering, we saw Junior Alexander out there more, although he didn't catch a pass, but was in the rotation. Did he do something to kind of earn that standing, or just what went into him being part of the lineup more?
Yeah, good question. Junior's been doing a good job. It was more about just spelling Rome than anything, just keeping him fresh and just keeping the rotation enough that we get all the guys in the football game with fresh legs and things like that. But no, Junior's continuing to grow and he keeps working hard and just had an opportunity to get out there on a couple plays.
For that matter, I think Jumper was on the road trip. Has he been kind of making a move with your system?
No. Nope.
How do you traditionally
but he Q-more, was on the- Q-more was down. Q-more was down, so we needed another body with us. Yep.
Put 96 on Hatchet, same kind of reason?
Yeah, just Q Moore was down, need another big body to move some people, and Guerin did a great job with that. It might be a role he could continue in.
How do you traditionally use the bye week? Is it more self-evaluation, or is it more kind of maybe altering what you want to do to finish out the season?
It's really both, right? I think it starts with your self-scout and really a pretty good position for us to be in as far as where we're at in the season and get ready for the last push and look at schematically some of the things that have been successful, not successful, improvements, you know, how you line up, how defenses are lined up to you. So all the typical self, I mean, those are the self-scout beginning of the week right now is the critical component. And then obviously still getting ready for Oregon State as well.
What was your evaluation watching the film of the pick play that they called on Jalen, and how would you coach that differently if you would?
I thought, I guess just being really transparent about it, I felt like the pick didn't happen because it was, we weren't running into the guy that was guarding McMillan. I think the penalty probably occurred when JP's hands went up. They saw extended arms, even though the defender was running into JP. I guess I could see the confusion on that, but I guess my version of a pick is when you're actually running right into the defender that's guarding the other player in a man situation, which is not what happened. That defender went over the top. JP ran into the guy that was guarding him, I thought it was a clean play, but, you know, they got to make the calls they got to make.
You guys had a couple opportunities to close the game out there and had to punt. There's a big penalty thrown in there. What did you see when you looked at the film in terms of just not being able to really close the door offensively?
Yeah, you know, we did a good job on third down. We've been doing a good job on third down. I thought there was a couple timely third downs that we didn't execute on. And, you know, it really hurt us. And both, at least twice, those were self-inflicted. As far as penalties, thought that was a tough call on Troy. You know, on a great conversion by Mike and Rome on the sideline. You know, and Troy gets a holding call on that one. That was tough. You know, but if you don't get yourself behind the sticks initially, maybe there's a more manageable situation to start with. So I thought that a couple of those times we just put ourselves in poor positions, you know, even third and mediums that become third and longs in the red zone, you know, where they're pretty darn good in XL situations. Cal's defense was, and that's, you know, going into the game, we said that's what we need to stay out of, and we actually had our season high. We had 7 attempts on XLs, which was a bummer. Your odds are going to go down dramatically, especially in the red zone when safeties get a little bit tighter and the windows get smaller and things like that. So those hits initially, even in the first half, you know, I thought, you know, really hurt us. And we had 3 situations right away in the football game where we went field goal, missed field goal. And those were conversions that we've been making and starting fast in the first quarter. And then I thought that carried over in 2 situations in the fourth quarter where we certainly could have put the game away and didn't do that, you know. So fortunately for us, our defense was playing really well, getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that extended. But that's what we talked about after the game was, you know, we had more penalties and drops than we've had all year. And that was a situation where we put ourselves behind the sticks. And really, I thought that's why we've been good on third down, is we've had the ability to have manageable situations. And we did a poor job of that at times in the game. We did a really good job at times and put ourselves where we were 5 for 5 and 3 and under situations on third down, and that was awesome. And then, you know, there was just a surplus of long opportunities, unfortunately.
Knowing how much you'd like to push it and your success rate on fourth down, how hard was it for you to go for 3 field goals instead of just going for the touchdowns?
Yeah, it was tough. I think there were some other circumstances there too, you know, thinking about the wind in the game and when you're going to be able to, you know, move the ball or actually kick the football. And so those points could definitely be a little bit different if you're either side of the game, whether it was Cal or us offensively, was able to kick the field goal. But yeah, there was 2 of them that I thought were pretty close to goes. And, you know, we had to make a decision that was best for the points.
Well, they seem to drop quite a few guys back in coverage, 7 and 8 sometimes. I think even 9 a couple times. Your offenses tend to go down. You like to go down the field a little bit more. Did that crimp the offensive style at all?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think they did a good job of making us earn it. I know after the game, Mike was exhausted, and we had kind of talked prior to the football game what it's like to have a good day throwing the football when people make you throw 2 windows and push the ball in different areas that you're used to putting it in. So you have to find new vertical seams and hook windows and things like that. So it can be a little more cumbersome at times, you know, when you're looking at guys with 8 catches for 80 yards and 6 for 60 and, you know, you complete 11 different receivers and they make you work, you know, and that can be tougher. So I thought that was a growing moment for Mike too, you know, and I thought he did a phenomenal job of, you know, not letting a play affect him, whether it be a new coverage scheme or somebody dropping the football. He just move on to the next play. And so I thought that was actually a growth moment for Mike to have to, you know, kind of push through that and still try to have a good football game. I know afterwards, me and him were around each other and found out, you know, that he had thrown for whatever it was, 370 or something like that. And I would have never in a million years guessed that, you know. But that's how those kind of games go, where you just keep chunking yardage and finding ways to get completions. And that will continue to happen, right? If you have some success throwing the ball, people are going to force you to get into different windows. And as you said, you know, drop more people. And I thought that was one of Cal's, you know, they did a good job of, you know, varying between pressure and dropping people. And we knew that going in, that Coach Sermon did a ppretty good job of that.
You played 5 running backs in that game. It seems like you're kind of starting to tighten up, understanding what roles are, with Wayne being obviously the guy who kind of comes out to start, and Cam has, you know, got 10 touchdowns. Do you feel like you have a better understanding of what these guys do and how they can help you? And do you feel like just the sheer volume and variety that you have there is a strength?
I do. I think that's a good observation that, you know, there's some things that you can continue, which we did in the game, of breaking some tendencies too with certain guys, you know, where people might view one running back as, you know, only this, you know, a one-dimensional guy and going against the grain on a few of those things. And they're all talented in their own way. So I think that it's been we're getting a little more close to, you know, seeing what all those guys can do, and you know, just trying to keep them all healthy too. You know, that's always a challenge at the running back position. It's a violent position, and those guys play really hard, and just got to keep doing that to keep them all healthy as well.
How'd you like Newton's run, double stiff?
Oh, I loved it. It was my favorite play of the game. I mean, it was after the game on Sunday. I know, talking to the offense, that was the most excitable I was the whole time. I mean, breaking tackles and you know, if you really watch the play through two really, really good stiff arms, but then even if you watch at the end, the defender coming trying to rally late to him, and Rich, you know, immediately just naturally picks his feet up and, you know, is expecting the guy to try to swipe his legs. And that's something that we got to continue to improve on as an offense, you know, with our playmakers in open space, not getting solo tackled. And I know the guys are working their tails off and getting better at that.
Has he really had to prove to you who he is, or did you pretty much have a good idea? Because I know he was injured when you got here.
Yeah, no, he definitely, in my mind, had to prove it and has done so. You know, Rich is really trying to expand his game too, you know, not just a between-the-tackles guy, you know, so that he can fit this offense. And I think he's done a good job of that. He's never had bad hands or anything like that. I think he catches the ball pretty naturally. I don't know that he's, you know, quite the route runner that Will Nixon is or anything like that. But, you know, just seeing a play like that where he's out in open space and makes a play was awesome.
Is Cam so good near the goal line?
You know, some of it's opportunity too, right? I mean, he's had some, if you look at the bulk of his carries on some of those, he's got the lion's share of that for sure. But I think he, you know, has really, especially the last 3 to 4 games, has started running behind his pads more and trusting his first instinct, where I think early in the season maybe there was times that he was kind of stuttering in the hole a little bit, maybe second-guessing his read, and I think he's just being more definitive with the ball now.
Seems like Troy Vitano has played pretty well out there, and he's got those, you know, random holds and a couple costly ones. Is there a common thread with the penalties with him, or is it something that he needs to kind of zero in on?
Yeah, I thought Troy played his best game. First of all, I thought he was really, really physical, and it was fun seeing him unleash a little bit. You know, I hadn't really seen that kind of alpha aspect out of him yet, and definitely saw that in some of his run fits with Jackson, where he was playing with a different level of confidence, and that was fun to see. As I mentioned before, I thought the one was a tough holding call. I thought Troy did everything right on that play. The other one, where he kind of wrestled the guy to the ground a little bit, I thought that came out of a little bit of more aggression. He was playing really aggressive. It was unneeded for him to try to get that guy on the ground, but he was playing at a really high level and, you know, just kind of made a poor choice on that one. But, you know, he lived with it and learned with it. But I think some of the other ones, you know, previously, especially early in the season, were a little bit more of, you know, his return to balance in some of his pass sets, meaning he got out over his toes and played heavy on the front side, and then he couldn't get himself back under control, whereas especially on Saturday, I thought he did a fantastic job of that. And I thought he was really playing with a lot of balance. And I think he'll just continue to improve. And I think you'll see a lot less of that. His hands are playing in his framework a lot better now, too. So I think he gets better every week.
You mentioned, you know, wanting to see guys make more plays one-on-one in space. And, you know, you talked about how you're a pretty tough grader with the quarterbacks and stuff. As good as you guys have been offensively, are there areas you expected to be better than you've been in these first 8 games that you expect to see improvement the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think the open field running is certainly one of them. I just think that, you know, I think we still, our long run for the night was like 12 yards or 13. I don't know what it was, but it was not even 20 yards. So I think more explosive runs out in the open, you know, where it doesn't have to just be, you know, Giles or J-Mac or Rome, but somebody else getting the football where, you know, they're breaking. Because if we get our skill guys highlighted versus a safety one-on-one, you know, I feel like up front they've done everything they're supposed to do. If the first guy that touches them is a secondary player, you know, we've got to win at least 50% of those battles. And right now I'd say we're well under that. And the guys know that. That's been very clearly defined to them that they got to keep, you know, working on that and improving. There's things we do literally every day in practice, whether it's coaches back there with physio balls throwing it at them late, you know, scout team players being instructed on how to, you know, make us beat the last defender, things like that. I think that one stands out. the obvious one would be, you know, being more consistent on short yardage. You know, I think there's games where we come out and execute the plan really well, and thought we did that on Saturday. And there's games that, you know, obviously that's been a problem for us. And then even though we've been good at it, I think eliminating the opportunities to be in XL. I just think if the guys can understand, if we stay in manageable, we will win a lot of football games. We can stay on the field and score points if that's a situation. And then finishing in the red zone will be the last one. I think that those are kind of go hand in hand a little bit, your efficiency on third down and your ability to convert in the red zone and turn it into to seven and not three.
So we've seen Michael Penix at his very best with 8 300-yard games. How is the progress of the other two guys, Morris and Heward, at this point? Are they getting an opportunity to progress in some manner in practice and things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Those guys have done a really good job. I think it's hard to make progress, and that was, you know, laid out, and that challenge was put to those guys right when the starting quarterback announcement was made. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think every position on a football field, the betterment happens with reps, and the rep opportunities are so small for your 2 and 3 quarterbacks, and especially if you're trying to really progress 3 total guys and not just a starter and a backup. So those reps can be really precious. There's other inventive ways that we've tried to continue to develop both those guys, and they've both adhered to that, whether it's, you know, taking throwing reps on the side, meeting with myself extra, meeting with Mitch Dolan, our quarterback analyst, even meeting with Coach DeBoer on the side when he has time, just anything we can do to help the development of, you know, what we consider to be a really important position on the team. We really spare no expense on that. I think those guys both are hungry to get better and are really involved in the game plan every week and have done a good job with that.
Even though they didn't win the job, you must get the sense that they're buying into this, since you have the, you know, quarterback leading the country in passing yards, and you've got proof out there that you can mold a guy into somebody really productive and explosive.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. I think that I never felt like they didn't believe. I guess I'll say that, you know, prior to the proof, I felt like those guys were all in the whole time. I think I even said that after Mike was named the starter. You know, people ask about, you know, Sam transferring and things like that. And I didn't feel like that was the case, that those guys were, you know, in. But certainly I think for all the players, not just exclusive to quarterback, but when you're able to have some success, I mean, the kids are human. And, you know, now that they see that there's some success happening, it makes them feel even more entrenched in the system.
Last thing on that trend, do you get the sense that quarterbacks out there that are recruits are seeing all this happen, and that you could be a destination for quarterbacks, and this is helping recruiting in a big way?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because it is. All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network, covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
We obviously saw Mish back in that game, and I'm curious, I mean, he obviously brings a lot to the table, but what are the biggest things that he brings that maybe you guys were missing?
Well, I think he's an elite communicator. I think he plays with a lot of confidence, and, you know, and he just, you know, I think he garners respect and consistency in his production, and, you know, knowing what he, you know, him just being a really consistent assignment sound player for us has been certainly an asset, getting him back in.
What has Braylon Trice done to just have so much success in winning pass rush, whether he doesn't get the sack or not? Just what have you seen from him in his progression?
His work ethic. I mean, he outworks everybody. I mean, I think that's the one thing you watch consistently week in and week out. A lot of his production is, you know, obviously is due to talent, but it's also due to him just being flat out relentless. I mean, I think he gives, you know, he'll give a first effort, a second effort, a third effort. And, you know, consistently that's going to wear the guy out across from him on a weekly basis.
And have you seen his impact on the other guys on the line? You know, Boy getting a sack. Just how does he impact the rest of the line to open opportunities for them?
Well, I think sometimes you get to pick your poison. You know, we have some opportunities finally to, you know, in terms of getting guys into, you know, third and XL, and all of a sudden you put the combination of Boy, ZTF, Jeremiah, and Trice out there all at the same time. I mean, you know, good luck. So, you know, I think. Try to create as many one-on-one matchups for those guys. And, you know, Voy's showing us that he can be a dynamic. He can win one-on-ones as well. And so I think it presents, you know, opposing offensive lines some challenges when we put all four of those guys out there together.
How important has that been for you guys, where you've shown in terms of the sack numbers, you've been able to get to the quarterback without having to blitz a lot of the time? How important is it just to know that your edges can do that, or Boy can beat someone one-on-one?
Yeah, no, I think it's critical. I mean, I think we'd come in each week and game plan and try to, you know, obviously if we can put an extra guy in coverage and you know, limit some, you know, some one-on-one exposures, I think that's always an advantage for us. And, you know, I think we talk about that. We just talked about it again yesterday as a defense. I mean, I think there's times, you know, from this past week where, you know, the coverage created the sack, and then there's a lot of times where, you know, the pressure up front helped us in coverage. I mean, I think it's a two-way street all the time, and I think I want guys to understand that all, you know, the front half supports the back. You know, the front half is creating plays for the back half, and the back half's doing the same thing for the front.
How important was, especially the first half Saturday, just kind of to build some confidence in the back end?
Yeah, well, I think just, you know, Saturday was the first time since Kent State. Actually, it's been a couple months. I mean, it's the first time we've played our opening roster on the field in the back half together for the first time in, you know, seven games. And so, you know, I think we thought we had a great week of practice just getting those guys back. They had a full load together. Thought we had a great week of communication. And, you know, and then it played out on game day. I think the guys walked into the game pretty confident that they were going to play well.
Cal didn't have a ton of success, obviously, getting points in the first half, but then they were able to move the ball a little bit in the second half. What were they doing different that kind of was able to get more yards?
Yeah, I mean, I think they hit a couple of things with a little bit of tempo. I think one of the biggest things is, and we addressed this, is just us coming out of halftime. You know, and it's been actually the last couple of weeks. It's a huge point of emphasis for us, you know, coming out the first series and realizing that, you know, they're going to go to the drawing board, try to find some things that they can be successful with. And you know, I really thought, you know, a couple of the things that happened, you know, during their first two scoring drives, a little bit self-inflicted on us. You know, if they look at the second time they scored, we had them in third and long twice. And you know, we jump off sides once, give them a third and medium. They convert that. Later on, they come up and hit on a third and seven. That was an explosive play. So I think just consistency in our approach coming out. Guys have been coming out and playing well early. It's just being able to be consistent with that throughout four quarters.
This was a defense that struggled to stop the run last year, and this year has been markedly improved. Is that, I guess, what would you attribute that to, and is that something that you expected to be a strength coming into this season?
Yeah, I mean, math. I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, I think it's, you know, how are you going to account for the box? You know, we don't go short in the box very often. I mean, we're going to make sure that, you know, we're really gap sound and that the guys understand where the run game's supposed to show up and who's supposed to be the primary, you know, force player, tackler. And I think the guys are really, really engaged with that. And so I think that's been a big part of it. And then, you know, I think secondly, just a physical mindset. I think you're getting some really, you know, workmanlike performances out of a Thule, and it's been good having MJ back in the mix here, kind of back on full feet. I mean, those are some good, solid, physical, consistent guys that are hard to move, and you know, the linebacker and the secondary fitting off the front guys, and I think that's led to a lot of our success in terms of stopping the run.
A week ago, Javion Green, I think, was number one on the depth chart, and there was talk that he might start, but we all knew that, you know, the week had to go through and play out. Did he was he not quite ready, or was it just Mish back taking?
Yeah, I think Mish, like I said, I mean, there's a, you know, Mish back in the mix, certainly an asset, and we still have big plans for Jay Green. I think he's going to be a fantastic young player for us, and I think the big goal for him right now is just consistency throughout the course of the week. And we knew going in it was going to be a close game, the ability to put Mish back into his more of his normal role out there was certainly an asset. We weren't going to bypass that on Saturday.
Was it hard for you to redshirt him? I know you have all these injuries and you had to answer to that, but was it hard to redshirt him? Because I think you guys were going back and forth trying to decide what to do about that.
With Jay? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of young guys that have been in that, you know, a similar boat to that in terms of just, you know, having some young guys that, Tristan Dunn's another one that's kind of in that mix where we've needed to have those guys on the field here a little bit. So, you know, I think those things kind of come out week to week basis. And obviously we've had a lot of moving pieces in the back half here throughout the course of the season. So we've had to call on different guys to step up at any time during the course of the as things have played out for us.
Seems like ZTF has been coming on the last couple of weeks. Do you feel like that was his most active game, and what do you see in terms of him just maybe growing confidence?
Yeah, I mean, just super productive. I mean, off the edge, I think he's a handful. And like I said, again, we've been able to work through some of our packages where, you know, there's multiple threats on the field at the same time. And I think those guys, you know, they get a taste early. It's like, there's blood in the water. I mean, they got a little taste early. We got to the quarterback early. And I think even, you know, whoever gets that first pressure, if that happens early in the game, I mean, I think guys around start feasting on that, and ZTF is certainly one of those guys that can, you know, I saw him win in a number of different ways, you know, win by running through the face of the tackle, win by setting up moves, going around the tackle, and so, you know, just really seeing him diversify his pass rush game is exciting.
You know, one guy that we never really got an official determination on, but he's just not involved, he's not playing, he's hurt, is DeMario King. Was he ruled out for the season officially?
Yeah, I mean, he's just coming back. You know, he's actually just started practicing here this last week.
It seems like this is obviously a time where you can kind of reset a little bit and maybe, you know, evaluate what you've seen. I'm curious, you know, compared to what you were looking at before the season, are there areas where you're further along than you expected, and also the opposite when you look back at this?
Yeah, I just think it comes back to the consistency of the same group of guys getting an opportunity to work together on a week in and week out basis. I think, you know, obviously look at the middle of the season there. We go back to, you know, a couple of disappointing weeks for us with Arizona State and UCLA and, you know, just third down production stuff where we weren't very good there. And then just seeing our guys bounce back off of that. And like I said, we've been able to grow and build some sub-package stuff here the last few weeks. It's been awesome for us. And I really feel like, guys coming out and playing with a physical mindset has been our mainstay. I mean, guys have played hard. They've played physical every single week. There's times where we haven't executed the best. But, you know, that's something we're going to continually keep our focus on the entire time here.
Anything else, Chris Brown?
Thanks, guys.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, good morning. Just watching the game, a lot of what we thought. Defense did a nice job in the first half, clearly with pitching a shutout there. And, offense got it going there in the second half, kind of eliminated a lot of the mistakes that, you know, held us back from, you know, having the success we normally have. So I thought it was a really good team win for us. you know, a lot of the story along the week that I actually learned more about was, you know, how tough it was to win at Cal based on how things have gone in the past. And, you know, I think for us, it was just focusing on getting a road win. You know, it was about the 2022 team. And you know, we went and did that. And you know, we've won two close games now, or games where there was at least a one score or close, you know, to, I think it was a 3-point game in the fourth quarter against Arizona, and, you know, seven last weekend. So finding ways to win and being, you know, at our best when the pressure's on in the final moments and finding a way to win is something I really appreciate, because it's something a lot of people will back down, a lot of teams will back down from and lose that. So our fight continues to be there. Bye week's a great thing for us. Guys can, you know, physically, improve, and probably as much as anything, just mentally. You know, we've been going for 11 weeks now with four weeks of fall camp, one of those being preparation for Kent State, and then, you know, 8 weeks. And so much needed break for us for a few days here. There's still some guys are at different phases where it's coming back from injury and they just need to continue to work to get in shape. And so some optional lifting and running that they're doing to get themselves, you know, through this week and improve their health and readiness to play more than even what they have been. And then some guys just who are a little more beat up because they've been going nonstop, you know, for the last 11 weeks. So it's great. Our guys are excited about where we're at. You know, got some momentum going into this bye week and ready to have a great November. So
what does the schedule look like for you guys this week from a practice standpoint, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, it's a little different than what I normally would do just because we play on a Friday, not a Saturday. And so everything has kind of moved up a day. I'm a, you know, a believer that you got to give them at least, you know, Monday would be an off day anyway. And so Tuesday and Wednesday, I think it was important for us to stay off the field. They'll get a lift in some, I mean, everyone will be in there getting treatments, you know, all week long. And some of that treatment, you know, adjusts based on where they're at, like I said. But Wednesday we'll get a lift in some working out, and then Thursday practice. There'll be some guys that come in probably on Friday, some of those that need some extra work, some extra lift, again, to try to get their bodies where they're supposed to be. And Saturday we'll practice, and that will be a shorter practice. That would be equivalent to a Sunday. And so that'll be a shorter practice, but we'll get some early prep going on Oregon State. And then we'll actually practice Monday this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in prep for a Friday game. So a little different schedule there, but it won't feel that much different for the guys. Coaches are on the road here a lot the early part of this week. We'll get some game planning as the week goes on together as a staff.
Will freshmen, guys maybe not playing a lot, not kind of down in the depth, will they get a little bit more chance to get reps while these other guys are resting up?
Especially on Thursday. That'll definitely be the case. We'll do what we call dogs on dogs. And so your ones will be going against the ones, and there really won't be any game planning for Oregon State that we'll be executing that day. And so they get to run our offense, they get to run our defense. We can clean up a couple things technically, you know, in their areas, as well as with special teams. And then Saturday, a little bit of that, but we'll start slowly working into Oregon State that day.
How do you feel the run game has progressed? Obviously, you got five different guys this past weekend. Just kind of where do you see that group at going the rest of the season?
Yeah, I know the average was down a little bit more this last week. But I felt like in the moments when we needed it, I felt like it was good. You know, the short yardage piece I thought was much better. I'm pleased with, you know, it was asked about CD, red zone, and he does a great job, and he is hitting the hole a lot harder. There was a third down and 2-3 yards in the fourth quarter there. And, I mean, they were coming after us. And he just didn't hesitate, got in behind his pads, got in behind where the little bubble was in the defensive line and smoked it up in there. And was really, you know, that was a big moment for us. I know we were really back and forth in between what to do there. You know, fourth down would have been in limbo, and it was, I believe, a 1 or 2 score game. It was still close, so... the rest of the guys are all, you know, they're growing. I mean, Rich seen what he did with that catch. We had a lot of fun with that, talking about that one yesterday. Super proud of how he continues to just come after it. And he was, again, coming off a week where he didn't play. And then most of the week last week, he, you know, missed on the recovery from his game against his injury against Arizona State. So, you know, getting these guys all healthy probably for the first time since probably the season's began, or not even, because they weren't all healthy when the season began. So it's really good. And that only enhances the competition and makes them all really push to be at their best.
I know you posted later on, but who are the guys that got player of the game or player of the week at various state levels here?
You know, Troy, we kind of do power. You know, you're really forcing me to remember here. I'm already kind of moving on. But Troy played a great game offensive line-wise. You know, Michael was named within the coaching staff our offensive player, but I thought Jalen McMillan played a great game. You know, he had a couple balls that I know he had one catch that was brought back because of a holding call. I think he had another one too, a couple maybe. And he just, you know, big third down catch that he had along their sideline. The touchdown he had was in a critical moment. And so I just thought time and time again, he played just strong. He's been really consistent all year. You know, he continues to add to his game. I think our entire offense does a good job with their ball security, but he was noticeably taking care of the football, and he's done that a lot. You know, he plays in the slot, and so there's a lot of balls where you're catching the ball in traffic, and you know, he's been really good that way, really consistent. So I'm super proud of him. I thought, you know, he on top of what we with Mike was great. You know, defensively, we gave it to the front. You know, all three of those guys just harassing the passer, harassing Plummer all day. You know, they're a great combination. You can rotate guys in. We can get them all in the field at the same time. And so they did a great job there. You know, I thought AC and the run support did a nice job. It was great to have Mish back. So, you know, I thought those guys in the secondary did a really good job.
You mentioned how important this week is for the players, but I'm curious how important it is for the staff from a recruiting standpoint just to be able to focus on the commits you have and also evaluations and those kind of things.
Yep. And we can't have contact with them on the road, but, you know, we have 19 commitments and, you know, getting to see all them, that's a big number. And, you know, we get a limited number of days, and every day you see even just one person play a game, that counts as an evaluation day. And so we have to be strategic in how we use those days. And, you know, you got to hit multiple places at one time as far as going to see maybe a game or practice or, you know, talk with a coach. And so our coaching staff is out and about. Some are out today. Some are out, you know, most of the week, and some are out parts of the week. And, you know, we'll hit games. Some places are starting playoffs. And so there's not just Friday games, there's Thursday games and so forth. So it's really critical because those commitments of ours, you know, feeling the love and us getting a chance to watch them play, it's a little bit of both. You know, we're pretty locked in on, you know, the level of caliber we're getting and excited about who's coming to the program. But I think just showing that support to them and by showing up to a game is huge.
Coach grabbed this too, but anything you would tell JP to do differently on the offensive pass interference that was called on the touchdown?
I mean, I guess he's got to avoid him. I forgot that. That's another one by J-Mac that got called back, the touchdown. I was thinking about the one on the right corner. You know, he's just got to avoid him. He's in his way. That was definitely not a pick play because we would have been going at the other defender who is on J-Mac, not the person who's man on us. So, you know, it's just what he's got to do. He's got to avoid, you know, and stay away from the contact. You know, he's running to a spot. He's trying to get there. The defender's in his way, you know, and that's really what happened.
You mentioned you've got 19 commits in this class, and the fit has to be right in terms of what you're looking for. But is there a number that you're looking to hit in terms of the high school class for 23?
Yeah, I think if there's a couple spots still that we could pick up. We haven't picked up a tight end yet, waiting for that right person you know to join our program. It doesn't have to be a high school player, but certainly would take one there. And maybe another defensive back yet. You know, possibly would be one we'd take. You know, pretty full at offensive line, quarterback, running back. You know, but I think just in general, you want to take the best players you can, and we could pick up another, you know, one to three guys, I think, if it's the right ones to join our program.
Do you proceed with the idea in mind that you're gonna target certain positions in the transfer portal, or does it at least a little bit depend on what the high school class looks like?
Yeah, I think there's certainly, I mean, some of it's you kind of know already where we need some additions from the portal. Sheer numbers, you know, just to boost the level of talent in that position or those positions. And I think also some of it will depend and be a little bit fluid based on, you know, any guys that go on to the next level, you know, and move on that way. So, you know, we'll have some of those conversations and get a better idea. And some of those conversations have been happening already. You know, we got good relationships with our guys. And so slowly getting an idea. And a lot of it, though, isn't that the conversations aren't happening. It's just the unknown, you know, and you know, our own players not sure of what they should do. And, you know, reasonably so. You know, they don't know what that looks like down the road. So I think that's part of it, too, the piece that's unknown.
I know Quentin Moore is out, so you've needed to add some help there. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about one, Hatchett kind of moving into that role? And then Jaden, Caden Jumper, the previous staff called him like a next Will Disley, and I'm wondering, we haven't really seen much of him, but he made the road trip.
Yeah.
Could you talk about him as well?
Yeah, you bet. Caden was actually a scout team player of the week, and he was a slicing machine on split zone this last week in practice, and did a great job giving us a look. And you can see the qualities he has there. And then Moore will be a guy I think will be back this next week. I mean, for sure, for the Oregon State game. So length, and I think really Q's done a great job developing himself and becoming more consistent than what we saw in the spring. And early in fall camp, and you know, a guy that we feel can go on the field. Hatchett playing some tight end, just a needed area there, especially in the short yardage. We've stole, as was brought up, Jeremiah Martin, you know, a couple games. I think actually the question was asked to me one time. I think it was actually you brought up whether we got him in earlier. We actually called for him, but we were ahead by enough to where we just substituted another player in for Jeremiah in the short yardage or goal line situation that happened a few weeks ago, I think Stanford. But, you know, it was a great opportunity, and Hatch knows, you know, the calls, and, you know, he's just one or two spots out extended from where he normally lines up. And those guys did a great job. I think it's something we can certainly build on to utilize his strength and his athleticism. You know, he's an athlete. You know, he can go catch the ball if we need to release him out in routes, even here and there.
So I know you have need, so that's why these guys go here. But it seems like you also feel like you really need to get guys a taste to keep their interest. You know, we see a lot of guys playing maybe than before in other coaching staffs that have come through here that have made guys wait forever to get on the field.
Well, I think it's an appreciation that they have that we see the skills that and believe in what they can do. And just because someone's ahead of them, you know, that's something that doesn't mean that we don't believe in them. It's just, you know, and I like being creative. I like what Coach Grubb and the offensive staff did and finding a way to get Hatchett out on the field. You know, he's a good player, you know, and is still developing and doing some things. And that was a great way where he can help our team out.
You mentioned, I mean, with the tight end situation, you're obviously not deep, but I think a lot of people in this offense think about the wide receivers first. But with what Westover's given you and Devin has given you, how important have they been in terms of a security blanket, especially against a Cal team that's not going to go deep as much?
The tight end position, I think, has always been huge. It's a critical piece of our success. The wide receivers do get a lot of the attention, but I mean, those guys are just behind the scenes racking up some catches and racking up yards. And, you know, they give you, to me, the control over the middle of the field that I've always believed in. And, you know, you attack the outsides with the receivers down the field, and the perimeter, but you need someone to control the middle. And yeah, you can do the slot receiver, running backs, kind of working through the line of scrimmage. But the tight end position is a guy that controls the middle of the field, is physical there with the ball after the catch. And then, you know, in the run game, the smarter they are, and you see our guys flexed out, motioning in, inside, motioning out, lining up in the backfield, on the ball, off the ball, slicing across the formation, you know, and the more that they can do that, and the more trust you have in them, the more you can utilize them. They give us extra gaps on run plays, you know, they just being a spread set where there was no tight ends, you know, that eliminates a gap. You know, you add a tight end in there, now it's another gap that the defense has to account for, and you know, got to do more things there. So tight end's a huge piece of what we do.
Why were there so many drops in that first half? And Wayne Talapapa's had mm-hmm. three, and he's usually yeah. a pretty sure-handed guy. Do you attribute it to anything, or just?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that was disappointing, certainly, and there was really no indication throughout the week of practice. I thought, you know, we tracked as even in practice and caught the ball well, and Wayne is a sure-handed guy, you know, and done a good job all year, and so, you know, they weren't the easiest catches. The one in the flat is one that he, you know, I put my money on him catching 100% of the time, but he didn't, and, you know, just needed to regroup and give him a chance to, you know, get his mind right again. And because I think that's something that he wasn't expecting, something certainly we weren't expecting. But, you know, fortunately, we have other guys that we were able to rotate in and go make those plays as well.
You mentioned that trust element. I think Grubb has also mentioned it a couple of times. What goes into that? It's not just can they catch the ball. Kind of how do the players build trust to get
catching the ball? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Is it more than just that?
I think first of all, I mean, I always look at guys who if they have the soft hands and just, you know, if they're a guy that is pretty consistent catching the ball, then it really just comes down to your focus, concentration, and where your eyes are at. You know, are you turning and running too quickly? You're taking your eyes off the ball. And so just really simplifying it down. You know, you catch it with your eyes. And there's probably a little bit. And sometimes, you know, the low balls, and you think you got to go down there and go get it. And that was two of Wayne's were kind of a little bit down, you know, and your body starts changing levels and some of that stuff happens and you get thrown off a little bit there. So just got to continue to work at it and build that confidence back up.
You know, I know there's a lot of season left, but I took a look at your roster once we got back, and I think 60 to 65% of it has never been near a bowl game, you know, been able to go enjoy it, play in it, even be a red shirt or a walk-on and get a t-shirt and all the gear that goes with it. So I think that was, in my mind, it must be a real milestone for you that you cross that bridge, that you're eligible for it, because that's why a big part of this game is these guys want to go to bowl games.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's something you don't want to take for granted, having the chance, you know, to go postseason and play beyond the 12 games. And, you know, with COVID and then just last year, you know, it has a lot of our roster hasn't been to a bowl game. And, you know, there's two pieces to it, right? Number one is the experience to, you know, do something special, play outside of the schedule, you know, during the holidays, you know, families a lot of times are able to come join you. And those are experiences that you want in your program. Those are where memories are built too, you know. And, the other part is just the development of your program, then the players, individual players, and the practices that come along with the bowl game. So we'll be playing more football beyond Thanksgiving weekend, and that's huge. Along with practices comes more lifts, because really, you know, soon after December, beginning of December, you're into finals usually, and when finals hits, the lifting ceases, and obviously if you're not practicing, you just kind of drift off into vacation, Christmas vacation, and so that won't be the case. We'll have an extended season, and that's huge for the growth of our program.
As far as guys redshirting, do you know how many, do you guys have a list that you guys have made of guys who are at least not eligible anymore to be redshirted because they've played too much?
Yeah, every week on Mondays, we in our staff meeting, that won't be the case this week because we got coaches on the road, but every Monday we revisit, and that way it helps us know and talk about the plan for guys. There are a few, you know, that are at that point or beyond. Getting to the list, I know I would miss on a couple guys if I just did it right off the top of my head, but you know, there certainly are some guys that redshirting's not really in the cards anymore. But there are still some guys we're trying to save it for, kind of play it by ear week by week and give us the most flexibility throughout the rest of the season.
One guy, I don't know if he played last weekend, Parker.
Yeah, I think he's got his four already, if I remember right. I mean, I hope I'm not wrong on that, but I know talking about him last Monday, he was one of the guys that we were going back and forth between.
Still going back and forth, or do you think he'll probably?
Yeah, he's at his four right now. And so, I know the comment was made, if we can get him enough snaps out there, we definitely need to use him, and I think that's going to be the plan going forward, is where he can get out there and help us, which he's doing a great job. He's, I don't want to say he's been a pleasant surprise, because we felt like he was going to be a good player, but I think his progression has happened probably quicker than we thought. He's got a twin too that's dinged up. Won't be playing this season with Javon, and so or Armon, and so get him straight. But you guys were talking about Jay Green, and we got Javon, and we got a lot of but Armon, he's gonna be a good player too, because they're very similar in their style of play.
How about an update on Ryan Otten? I know he got hurt early on when he mm-hmm. got here, but how's he been?
Yeah, he's such a great kid. And, we're grieving with him and his family, the loss of Sally, and phenomenal family that's given a lot to this program. And Ryan's going to continue to do that. He's developing, coming along, battled an injury for really most of this summer. Just had a little bit of a hammy. Usually we don't talk about what it is, but it was nothing major, and just kept him from being able to move forward. And he's gotten through that now and helping us out in practice each and every day. And he's going to be a good, really good football player for us.
Any birthday plans?
I got some of the players coming over tonight. That was really not for my birthday. They didn't know that it was my birthday, I don't think. But it's just, it's really one of the very few days in the calendar. When you look between now and the end of the season, we get to December, we'll be able to do some things. But first time we really have with the family moving in and kind of adjusted now to have some of the players over, some of the upperclassmen, the seniors, the Unity Council, and our team captains. So I'm going to have some of those guys over for dinner tonight. That's it. It's all football and family.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.